Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now. So, yeah, no, I get what you're saying, but I don't know, that word coach sometimes drives a nail in my virtual coffin because it's oversaturated.
It is.
You know, and a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of time, these coaches are disgruntled employees that then got fired or joined the Great Resignation, and they're the subject matter expert, and they think they can tell other people how to do it. They don't realize that when you coach someone, it's like parenting. You know, you want to bring out the best in an individual. You don't want to change them. You want them to evolve. And there's got to be some accountability. Baby, if I pay for a coach, I want to see what I got coming out of you, just oozing out of your pores. Okay. Yes. I want to see money and power and influence. And I want to outgrow you.
Yes. That's what it's all about. And that's why I want to bring the, you know, genuine ones, hopefully the one on and hear, because I want to hear what they have to say. And I'm just not sitting there saying, oh, that's nice. I'm kind of challenging them in some areas and saying, okay, as a coach, you're supposed to, you know, this is what's supposed to be. What are you, are this is like a hobby or is this something that you really help?
Exactly. Is this a jobby hobby? Because yeah. You can't, you're right. I mean, well, you can't get $2,500, $3,000 for me to play no games. Is there a checklist? Is there accountability? Is there homework? Because I want to be able to go back 3 months from now, look at my notes and say, hey, you know, let me implement this.
Definitely.
Oh, how did you get into this space, Barbara Beckley? Oh, hi, Brains. I forgot. I got to talking to Barbara. You are on the edge, the place where the conversation is what pointed and the guests are sharp and the responses are never dull. I have been waiting to have this sister here. Her and her business partner, LaWanda, have just really been, LaWanda. Have been amazing supporters. We are in the same sphere when it comes to getting people out there, giving them exposure, talking to them about what they do, featuring them. See, Brains, you know, everybody talk about this branding. Well, if you are not out there and you're not visible, you are disingenuous, number one. Number two, you're not effective because nobody knows that you're out there. You have to work with people like me and Barbara to highlight what you do, explain who you are, and be more than just a commercial. You know, everybody's got a book. Everybody's got a coaching. Everybody's an entrepreneur.
I like that one.
Well, they get turned on by the word. You know, the word is exciting. Oh, I'm an entrepreneur. Okay, well, what does that mean? Girl, I was talking to this one brother, bless his heart. And I don't want to, you know, be responsible for no employees. And I don't want to have to go to work when I don't want to. And I want to relax. Well, it sounds like lazy to me because an entrepreneur, Barbara, you know, like I know. On the grind.
Thank you.
Grind.
Yeah. While everybody's taking off, you ain't taking off. It's almost like
exactly. Exactly.
Like, what are you doing?
Exactly. And I don't want somebody that's not on the grind. I need somebody that is really working because an entrepreneur is setting something up to either sell off, grow, expand. You know, if you just want to just go to work and get paid, continue to be a W-2 employee. And there's nothing wrong with that either.
And I'm glad you said that because some people think that they have to just do that. I'm like, well, if you want to be a W-2 employee, do what you do. My mother used to always say, whatever you do, do it good. Do it great. Do it grand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just to go to work and do your job, get your vacation, get your medical, get your benefits, get your little 401k. really. And get out of there and be off. But when you're an entrepreneur, you're on the grind 24/7. From when you wake up, you got to find the business, build the business, always ever evolving in the business. tell us about your business. Since we talk about business, tell me about your business.
Well, my business is called Diamond Factor LLC, and there's a story behind that. And I started it, it's been 6 years now. I just noticed it, time passing by. And I told myself I wanted to make sure that I help, especially women. I was really honed into women because, you know, we all have our stories, women and men. Mm-hmm. And my story started off where people at the beginning at the age of 7 to 10 was telling me I didn't have no value, was telling me I was ugly, was telling me I was stupid every day.
Who was telling you that?
All the kids in my class, all of them, not just one or two, April, all of them.
So wait, yes. So let's dial into that just a minute, because again, okay, this is going to be a real candid conversation, brains. I love it because we're both, you know, critical thinkers. We're both brains and we can go there. But why in the world did they just pick you out of all the 400 students in there to pick on you and call you stupid and tell you nothing? Why?
So, you know, because I was quiet. I was very shy. And some people today would say, really? They still try to figure out that story. But I'm like, I really was. But I was really shy. So sometimes, you know, when you're young, when they see people that's not speaking or not saying anything, they might think that you either, you know, have something wrong with you, or they just don't like you for some, you know, people just say, I don't like you. Why you like me? Because why? They never said because why. Mm. So it got to the point where I was coming to school, going to class, didn't say much at all, except for the teacher, of course. And they kind of put me in this stature of, well, she's stupid. She don't know what she's doing. She a mute. I mean, it is everything, April. It's to the sun. I mean, one little boy came to me and said, why are you even here? Why are you even here? Yeah.
A lot of people talk about bullies, but bullies have always existed. Girl, we had a bully in my school. Her name was Pebbles. And Pebbles was smaller than me. Yeah, exactly. And but she was tough, you know. She was tough. And they had me trapped in the classroom because they told me they was going to get me after school. Girl, I was scared to get from the classroom upstairs to the parking lot where my mother's car was. I thought I was going to have to sleep there. And I gathered up every ounce of courage I had and broke. I ran down the hill. I had dropped my books, everything. I got to the car. Mama said, girl, what's wrong with you huffing and puffing? I said, oh, mama, they say they're going to get me. The bullies are going to get me. They're going to get me. She said, really? She said, oh, well, she said, we're not going to have this, girl. You know, she pulled the car over and stopped and told Pebbles and them, come here. Handle this. Get it right now. I looked at her like she had antennas. I was like, this woman is crazy.
You know what?
Me and Pebbles got to tussling on the ground. And, you know, my mother watched as a referee. There wasn't no damage being done. But I gained a sense of courage. And when I talk to adults that I see that are being bullied in the workplace, that I see are being bullied by their spouse, that I see are being bullied by, you know, sometimes you're being bullied by yourself, that negative self-talk.
Yeah. It's real.
It is real.
That is real when you bully yourself. Yeah.
Exactly. So how'd you come out of your shell?
So this is a nice thing. I always tell people, believe in the universe. And I always say, I believe in God and Jesus. So I'm going to put that out there. Everybody has their own
belief. That's the thing. You ain't got to sugarcoat with me. Now, whoever somebody else choose to believe, that's fine.
That's what I'm saying. They believe, but I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. And at that time, God was with me, even when all that stuff was happening, with people saying that you're not going to be anything. There was one teacher, April, that came to me, and she knew, she seen what was going on. She was, you know, it wasn't like she was just letting them do it. She was trying to stop and say, you know what, this is not going to happen in this classroom. But the other classroom, she couldn't really get to.
Right.
But this specific teacher, she's like, she talked to me every day, April, and she said, you are important. You're going to be powerful when you grow up. And she told me about the diamond story. She said, you're just a diamond in the rough. And she said, you're getting molded and molded to something that's going to be brilliant when you get older. And I was like, okay, I understand. The diamond is pretty. I can, you know, because I was 8, 9 years old. I'm like, oh, yeah, I looked at diamonds before. But the rough part in the shaping and the molding, I wasn't really
well,
liking.
I mean, and but you didn't understand, and you didn't understand the compression. You didn't understand that a diamond only magnifies under pressure.
Yeah, and she was explaining that to me because she was showing me that this is what's happening right now. But she was also telling me in the future, as I move forward, that it's going to get more brighter for you inside of you because of what you are dealing with, and you can help others. Mm-hmm. So with that, I mean, with that, she was telling me, and she would tell me that every day, April. I mean, she wouldn't miss a day telling me I was smart, telling me that I was cute, telling me that I'm going to be about something. Don't worry about it. Because she was trying to, I know she was trying to, at that, well, older now, I'm thinking back. She was trying to put those words in me because all those other words were trying to get into me.
Mm.
Yeah. So wow. She was the first that really stood up for me. And then the next person was my dad.
Mm-hmm.
My dad. I call him my rock. I call him my diamond. And he just took everything and just gave me the hugs. And he was like, nope, you my princess. Don't let them, you know, it's not going to happen. They're not going to put you down. But see, it was nice that I was getting those words. But then I had to, see, the thing is, I had to believe in myself. I always tell people, and anybody can tell you that you're awesome, beautiful, and amazing. But if you don't think that, then that's a whole nother story.
That's, I just wonder why we absorb the negativity.
It's easy how we absorb the negative more than the positive. And I always ask myself that question too. I said, why do we just linger to the negative so quick? And then it's so hard to do the positive. Because I ask people even sometime on my show, I said, you know, do you think, I'd be saying, oh, hey, because I call Lady Queens. I see the ones that are building and doing stuff like you. I see you're a royal queen. I call you queen. And sometimes some people be like, I don't really feel like, am I a queen? Am I good? Am I amazing? And I'm thinking to myself, why are you not, what?
Well, you know, the reason is that society has deemed that if you love yourself and like yourself, you was conceited and you're arrogant and you're cocky and you got an ego. Well, I got all that and then some. I've worked for it. Really? I worked
like,
for it.
You said, well, I said, we about to preach. I love what you were saying. Like, get up here, we're going to tell you.
It is what it is. I can't love you more than I love me. And I've been married to Mr. Magnificent for 37 years. And okay, I told him, baby, I got some love in reserve for April. Because, Barbie, you know, like I know folks change their mind. Yeah. And then you out here stuck on stupid.
Yeah, really stuck.
You know, you don't have no bandwidth. You don't have no drive, no inspiration, because you're waiting for those outside influences. You're waiting for someone else to validate you.
Yeah, there you go, right there. And that's what a lot of people. I mean, I see a lot of adults too, like you said, April, that is waiting for validation. Yeah, and then sometimes they don't become themselves. They become somebody else. Like if they see somebody else, they'll say, oh, I got to be like them. And I'm like, no, you got to be like you.
It's the imposter syndrome. Or I had some guests on my show talking about the overachiever. Now, who would think that a smart, heady, rich, nerdy person would have a problem? But they do, because they're perfectionists, and that perfection shows up as insecurity. So we have to be very careful when we look. I remember Reverend Al Sharpton telling me one time, I was in the mirror, we was at an event, and girl, I was getting all myself all together. I guess I had been there 4 or 5 minutes. And for some reason, I guess he had been sitting there watching. And he goes, you know what, baby girl, I just want to tell you something. He said, that mirror is not just for a reflection, but it's also for correction. Did you get it right? And I was like, wow,
that's a mic drop.
Yeah. Right. And I was like, okay, because I guess I was just really all into, you know, trying to do it. But you have to look at that person in the mirror, because so many times, Barbie, you know, like I know, like we were talking about coaches or entrepreneurs, people send their representative.
Yeah.
And then you hear this oversaturated word, authentic. Well, you know, if you ain't got your teeth in and your eyelashes on and that wig together, people don't want to see your authentic self. Okay, they see some monster. But coming up to the surface, because a lot of times you can't show your true authenticity. You have to hold back. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, at times, I mean, I've been doing much more of being open like that, because I believe just for the things that I went through and what I'm doing now in my business, I told myself I have to be authentic to a certain extent, because I want people to understand that I don't want them hiding behind things or thinking what they went through is like, oh my God, I can't tell nobody, or they're gonna look at me a certain way or whatever. So that authenticness I believe in doing, because you don't know who you can help. I mean, you're helping yourself sometime when you keep, you know, you tell it, put it
right,
out there,
right?
But then you don't know who else is listening, saying, because they were scared, or they're like, I don't want to, nobody knows I'm going through this, no one else is going through it. Then when you hear like maybe Barbara say that, yeah, I was in an abusive marriage, or yeah, I dealt with cancer, or yeah, I was sexually molested, and they see me doing what I'm doing, they're like, wow, there's hope. She went through all that and she's right. Still doing this. So that's why I feel like the authenticity needs to come in it. Just that part.
Were those examples, or were some of those things, you know, indicative?
Well, That was all true. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And yeah. So when you decided to, again, reveal this, what was your aha moment? What made you decide to peel back the layers?
The day when I decided, because my father, just going back to him real quick, because like I told you, he was my biggest diamond in my life, shining for me. Well, at the age of my age of 17, he was deceased, and he deceased by, he got murdered.
Oh, man.
At that time, it took a toll, I mean, a huge toll, April, on me, to the point where I just wanted to say, you know what, I'm done. And I mean, what I'm done, like, I'm done, I want to get out of this, right. Just out, I'm gone. But they, see, another angel, though, came in my life, and they had to take me to the hospital because I kind of lost it. A lot. I'm not going to say a little, a lot.
Oh, sure.
That I had to be put into the hospital for a 48-hour suicide watch because they were concerned. Mm. Well, in that moment, that's where that big change happened, because a nurse that didn't even know who I was, they were just going in there just taking, you know, what they do, take your blood and all that stuff. And at that time, I found something to say, I'm going to do what, you know, like I said, I was going to just end it. I was talking about ending it. And they had me under some sedatives. She came in there and she said, okay, you're checking out. I'm going to check on you again, because they would check you like every hour. She came in there. She turned around, though, April. She turned around before she went out that room. And she said, something's telling me I have to tell you something.
Mm.
And she said, I'm just going to do it. She said, this is weird. This never happened to me. She said, what you're thinking about doing right now, somebody's telling me don't do it, because you're a diamond in the rough. And you are going to help others when you get much older.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do what you're doing now, you're going to miss out on what your blessing is, and they're going to miss out on meeting you so they can get their blessings. And she said, I don't know where it came from. She said, but I had to tell you that. And I'm telling you, April, but she said that because my teacher told me about the diamond in the rough. My dad used to say I was a diamond in the rough. And then this nurse from wherever, she didn't know me, Adam, or anybody else, saying, I'm a, you know, diamond in the rough. So that was, and I think of the Trinity, because that was three times.
Right.
Teacher, doctor, nurse. Yes.
So what was your relationship with your mom?
That was a little different story. I call her Sergeant Beckley. But you know, a lot of, don't know if she was Marine, Air Force. I think she was the whole thing, and nobody didn't know about her.
Wow.
She was the one able to tell me, I come from school, I got all A's, one B. I mean, I'm talking about all A's, because I always wanted to make her proud of my dad, right? Mm-hmm. At that time.
Mm-hmm.
She looks at me, and she's like, this isn't good. And I was like, well, wow. I'm in my mind, you know, you can't talk back in the days. Now people talk back. We didn't do that back in the day. You know that.
Oh, so please.
I'm just standing there like.
Talk back to who? Yourself?
I couldn't say nothing. I was like, I can't say nothing, because the next thing is she's going to do something else that I'm going to be like knocked out. People
right,
in our
right.
age know that. So I was looking, I was thinking to myself, because I just was handed to her. I said, Mom, here's my, you know, report card. She's like, that ain't no report card I want to see. And she took it, April, and threw it down. And she said, and I was like, well, in fact, still trying to figure out what happened here. Mm-hmm. She said, you got a freaking B and you got A's. Where the A pluses and where the A for that B? That's what I'm talking about. She said, what's going on with that? She's even flown around in school. Even, I mean, and I'm thinking to myself, I know so many other my other students that got
girl,
like,
please
ever put out, and she yelled at me.
I know people. I wasn't one of them because my mother was really smart with that. But I was one of those kids that would try to tell my friend, "Don't change that F to a B. Hey, you're gonna get busted. Don't do it. Don't do it." And people, you know, people always try to do that. But I know that it's hard when you look to. I'm glad that you had your father there. That was really, you know, a little softer self.
At the yin yang.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We have to have that. But it's hard sometimes when your mom is the tough one and you're a girl.
Yeah, I, you know, now that I look back, and I'm so glad before she passed away, it's been 12 years ago, that we had a talk. And this is, see, God always orchestrates things right the right way. We had a talk, and then like 3 weeks later, she passed away. And the talk was basically, I asked her, did you ever love me? And she looked at me, April, with her little stern self. She was so small at that time, because she was sickly too at the time. She said, what you mean, did I love you? All this stuff that we went through, I made sure, I wanted to make sure you were doing and hitting the mark and working hard and hard. And every time you said, oh, I'm finished, Mom. And I'd be like, no, you can do it better. No, I got this, Mom. No, you don't got to do it better. You know, go to school. I got college. I got a degree. No, get another one. I mean, that's what she was doing. Mm-hmm. And come to find out, she loved me, but that was her way to express her love, because what she went through when she was a child.
And I was just getting ready to say that, you know, that epigenetics, you know, that generational trauma, you know, maybe she didn't have that expectation of her that she knew that she could do better. Maybe she didn't have somebody that could push her. But again, you know, look at you. You are shining bright to this day. Now, are you married now? Do you have children?
I am married. No children. Yeah, because the thing about the cancer I told you about, I had uterus cancer, so I had to get a full hysterectomy done. So I didn't bear children.
I'm glad you're here to tell the tale. And you are the mother to many. And they don't have to be small, because I see the work that you do with your guests. Promoting them, interviewing them, asking them questions, laughing with them. How did you get into that space?
Well, that's where it started, after like that whole thing I was telling you about where I thought I was going to end, and then the nurse came in. At that time, April, was just something clicked from my head to my heart and just told me, moving forward, I have to work on myself to make sure that any other, because I say women because that's what was the whole thing I was dealing with a lot of women, it stuff, issues, that I need to get to a point in time where I'm able to help somebody. First, help me first. And then I said, I don't want nobody to think that they're not valued, that nobody don't care about them. That whole thing was just like a mission, a movement in my mind to me.
Well, life is a blank canvas. And if you had watercolors, what colors would you paint the picture that you are in now?
Oh, you asked me the question about the colors?
Yeah, what colors would you paint?
I would paint red, yellows, purples, orange, and before it used to be gray, black, and brown.
If you were a kitchen appliance, Barbara Beckley, what appliance would you be?
An oven.
Why?
Because I think about baking, and it takes time for it to, you know, the juices, like if you're cooking like maybe a cake or even a roast or whatever, mm-hmm. it takes time to have all the juices and everything go and make that nice flavor tasteful when it comes out. And I think that for me, that's what I like to do. I like to take time and make sure that I'm helping myself, helping others. And it just is not that fast thing like a microwave. That's why I said I wouldn't be a microwave oven. I would be an oven, because
I'd be a cotton picking teapot.
Like the beeps,
yeah, spout out, hot and spouting out. That would be me. That would be me. What are three things that you absolutely cannot live without?
That's interesting. One, just that's something to think about. Can't live without, well, first of all, my faith. Can't live without that. Can't live without believing in my God and my Jesus. So that's one thing. Second, love. I can't live without love. And third, just being real. Just being real. Because I wasn't able, I was always being, trying to do something when I was younger, trying to be whatever, and not myself. And I finally got to that point of just being real with myself.
Talk to the woman right now that is sitting there listening to this podcast, or the thousands of women that are listening to it, and men too, that are in that space of getting the diagnosis of cancer. What would you say to them to encourage them?
The first thing I would say is that is not a death sentence. That's the first thing I would say to them. Live every piece of your life the way you want to live it. When you hear it, no matter what. Don't do what I did. I would say, learn from people's mistakes. I ran away. As soon as the doctor told me I had, they call it the big C. I don't call it the big C because I don't think it's big. Don't let that be who you are. And that's what I did, is I started letting that let me run. I ran away from it and went denial. And then when I did that, it got worse because I waited a whole year after that to get back to the doctor. And at that time, that's when I had to have a rush. I mean, basically an urgent hysterectomy. I mean, they took me from urgent care to the hospital to surgery.
Wow.
And if I would have did something before then, maybe other things could have been different. But the first thing, if you hear that word, I always tell people, it's not a death sentence. It's not. Exactly. We were put on this earth for to do something, be it whatever timing. See, I tell people, we're put on this earth to do things, but we don't supposed to sit there and say the timing of it. Right. There's so many people in this world that has did something so powerful. I'm going to start with Jesus, 33 years old. And he had to do his thing. But he would see how powerful it was. So don't look so much at the time that you're saying, okay, I don't have enough time. Do it right. That's why I look at time every day is so important.
But you know what? Time is an illusion, too, because in the Bible, folks lived to be 700 years.
Thank you.
I wonder what kind of moisturizer they was using.
April.
You know, but time is an illusion. It is not what we think it is, but it is precious. And I tell people all the time, don't waste my time. I'd rather you mess with my, you know, a little bit over my money than my time, because I'm not going to get any more time. You got an expiration date. We are all organic. What do you want your legacy to be, Barbara?
I want my legacy to make sure that people just be who they are and just do what they want to do. And don't let people tell them that they can't do something. And even if you do it, you'd be like, dang, I failed. I totally screwed this up. But guess what? You tried it. And you see if you can do it or not. So that legacy is to have people in their mind frame. If I can leave that for people, is to just do you, believe in you, and just trust that, you know, you can move to the next level and whatever you're trying to do in life.
Exactly. How did you find love again? You said that you had been assaulted. How did that re-enter your life? Because again, like you said, you had some self-esteem challenges and love challenges, looking at what that meant. What was the expectation that you had of this fine fellow that you call your husband?
Well, it's funny you said fine fellow. He would love that right about now. but you know, it's funny, Abra, because just to let you know, he's a fine fellow and everything, but guess what? We're going through divorce right now.
Okay.
Because, and some people looked at it, you know how people say, I'm so sorry you're going through that. And I tell people, I said, no, this is not a sorry moment for me. This is not me being a victim or anything, because this is me getting even more freedom than I even thought of before.
This is you being mature enough to consciously uncouple.
There you go. Bingo.
And again, I said, I love Mr. Magnificent's dirty draws. Yes, white folks, we say that, dirty draws.
What you said, that's what we say.
but I always kept a little extra in reserve for me, because folks change their mind. Their situations get different. And if you love, if you truly love someone, in my opinion, you can love enough to let them go, set them free.
That's what the song says.
Right. If this is not the frame that fits your picture,
yeah,
it's okay. It's all right. But for us to be there and try to continue to make something work, you know, trying to get your size 8 in a size 7 shoe, it hurts.
It hurts. And now, one thing I believe, because some people, you know, nowadays with marriages and stuff, is like, you know, they meet, they get a ring, they get married, they divorce, and what, 2 weeks or whatever? I mean, just throw them just being, but sometimes that happens. And I tell people, I've been married for 23 years. 23 years.
Wow.
So you talking about working on a marriage, seeing the man, you know how people say, you got to work. Marriage is work. You got, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just being clear. We got to work on it. And I have, but I had to come to the conclusion that I'm not going to lose myself so much that now you don't even see who Barbara is or who Barbara was. Mm-hmm. I mean, before, you know, this happened, I wasn't speaking, April. I wasn't doing what I'm doing now. Because I didn't think I was going back to that little girl again.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There, were you revisiting that sheltered space that you had? You talk about 2-3 weeks. Girl, let me tell you about my aunt. Uncle Joe married her. Told he was going to go get a pack of cigarettes. That joke ain't come back yet.
Oh, dang. That was less than 2 weeks. Oh, my God. Say that.
You know. And she stood there scratching her head, wondering, where is Joe? But see, her life was built around Joe. Her life was built around Joe. You know, she didn't, you know, she's still looking for it. And you have to evolve. We are lotus flowers. We have to blossom.
Yeah.
You know, we really have to blossom. And it hurts. Life is full of thorns sometimes. You know, but look at these women. They don't have no money. That's one thing to keep you trapped because, you know, how am I going to pay the mortgage or how am I going to do this? Go out and get you a job. Use your brain. That's how you're going to do it.
Brain.
Or they trying to control the sex. Sometimes it just ain't, it's just not it. Sometimes people are attracted. Sometimes they have a fault. Sometimes they can't perform. Sometimes they're obsessed. Whatever that is. But if you can't fulfill that, and that is a deal breaker, you know, or control. Yeah. You can't control me. I'm like one of them wild stallions, girl, with the bit in the mouth.
And well, the other thing, you can't just control. That's bad too. And then the trust. So that's another thing.
Well, you know what? What do you think about trust, Barbara? Because trust, to me, is a tricky word. See, trust is contingent on other factors. I trust you if you do X, Y, Z. I don't trust you if you do X, Y, Z. For example, you know, we'll just use relationships. You know, a man steps out on his wife and they get back together and they try to work through it. But let me tell you, when I call you and you don't answer your phone, you know, I ain't gonna trust you. Or, you know, where was you at? Well, baby, I had to stop and get some gas. Well, you didn't check in. Trust.
That's a headache. I'm telling you right now, that's a headache.
It's
the trust work. The trust I'm saying is you go into, okay, we're talking about relationship again. You go into a relationship and the person leaves out the fact that, oh, by the way, I did do some time for 10 years on this particular. Oh, and guess what? I do like cocaine. It really tastes good to me. Oh, you know what? I don't think I like women no more. I like men.
Yikes! I know. And you be like, and you've been laying next to me for the last 15 years, and now all of a sudden you just realize the fat meat is greasy.
Put on the download.
Wow. Yeah. Right. It is.
But that's the kind of trust I'm talking about. Like, okay, well, I can deal with the fact we work through things, but you didn't even tell me up front what's going on here.
Right. That's that imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
But so many people try to overlook that and sugarcoat it, and they don't. I can understand working through it. Because the world is different now. You know, Some women might say, hey, well, you know, bring your partner with me, and you know, we might all get out.
I've been hearing all them stories too.
But give me the option. Give me the option to make a choice. Let me know. Don't come to me and you done got somebody else pregnant, or you know, you done got something worse, some fatal disease. And I've been thinking that you've been faithful all this time. And then you look at the person, you say, well, how are you going to honestly reveal who you are? Mm-hmm. That's being authentic. And I told you, sometimes authenticity is ugly.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
If you were an animal, what animal would you be and why?
I would be a lion.
I see you as a teddy bear. I don't see you as a
Well, thank you. I've heard that before from some other friends. But no,
would you be a lion?
I would be a lion because somebody, a certain mentor told me a while ago, they said, lions, think about lions. They don't have to tell who they are. They just be. So a lion, you know, you don't have to sit there and say, if you're a lion, you're gonna say, are you really a lion? Can you really bite? Are you really, you know, the kingdom of the, you know, whatever, of the jungle, whatever like that? No, they sit back and they like, no, I'm a lion. And they do what lions do. So I kind of liked it. I said, I like that. So that kind of—
Sometimes they're considered as, because you know, when I ask this question, I'll tell you a couple things. Firstly, if I was an animal, I'd be a party animal.
I know.
I've been partying that book for real. No, I'd probably be an elephant. Yeah. Because they are majestic and they're strong and they're powerful. They travel in prides. They take care of their young and they never forget.
No, they don't. Yeah, they're very smart.
Yeah, they never forget.
That's the smartest.
I asked this question because it gauges a little bit into people's personality. So I'm interviewing this woman for a job. I asked her, I said, what animal would you be? Girl, she told me she'd be a snake.
Ooh.
And I said, well, wait a minute, but that was bold. And I said, well, explain to me why. And she said, well, you know, she says, I come in low. I come in under the radar. She said, I slide around. I do what I got to do. She said, I snap. I grab my prey. I do what I got to do, you know, and then I go on about my business. And then I shed the skin that I don't need. I gave her the job. I sure did, because you know what? That was something that I didn't want to do. That was something, but I was very careful because she had admitted that she was a snake.
That's what I was about to say. I know that still was in your head.
Never did, but you know, she worked for me for about 6-7 years.
Okay.
You know, and I never had any problem, but when I needed to get the work done, I called her because I was like, wow. She identified with who she was. So a lot of people don't even know who they are. They don't know who they are, or they don't want to talk about who they are. Yeah. And it's crazy. What makes you cry?
What makes me cry is when I see people not loving on themselves. And I think it seems like all that just affects me, because it goes back to me. I take myself back to when I was that girl, and when, you know, I was abusive and everything. And that really makes me cry when I see others deal with it. They don't deal with it. They don't, they seem like it's like, well, I can't do nothing else about this. I got to go through this because this is what it is. This is my world. One lady told me a long time ago, she was getting abused all the time. And I said, you need to get, I can't tell you what to do. I'm suggesting, you know, cause I was just yearning for her. Mm-hmm. And she said, Barbara, this is my life. I can't. I mean, she looked in my eyes, April. She said, I can't do it. She said, maybe you did it, but I can't. Wow. And I'm telling you, I got in my car, and I think I weeped all the way home that night when, in fact, I'm still getting kind of just thinking about it.
Right.
And,
right. Yeah. It's that neuro-linguistic programming. It's that conversation that we have in our head. Mm. What makes you just laugh just uncontrollably? What makes you happy and show that big old smile?
People like you and other people that are really just moving forth and making people happy and making a difference. And why do I have to say it like that? Because, you know, everybody's talking about that. We're just like, it's a coach. Oh, I want to make a difference in the world. But then I'm like, okay, I want to see some action. I still want to just see you say, okay, I'm making a difference. I mean, anybody can say that. But when I see like you and, you know, my partner, LaWanna, and other people, that's what makes me happy. And that's what just puts a big old smile, not just here, but here.
It does. And that does it for me too. I've done this for a long time. I've done this for 17 years. And I listen, I go back in my archives, 17 years, girl, I've been running my damn mouth. Well, longer than that, actually, because, you know, I worked in television and I've written a book and all those things. But when I see that light bulb moment in somebody else,
yeah.
And when I look at, you know, because I post with people leaving messages in Messenger, I post them. It's not when I'm talking about me, it's when you're talking about me that makes me feel good, that I came on your show, or, you know, you made me laugh, or you made me smile. Or I had one young man now from Africa. You don't talk about being gay. He said, after being on your show, I was able to tell my parents not only that I was gay, but I'm non-binary, you know, that I'm doing a whole different thing. I had a woman that was on my show, and she had 16 miscarriages.
Mm.
16. And when she went to go home from one of the 16 to call her husband, that joker hadn't been at that job for 3 months. You know, I had a woman just a few minutes ago that was on my show. I want you to listen to it. It was amazing. The power of eating protein can get you off of drugs, meth, and cocaine.
Wow.
So I learned so much from these individuals, and that it is better than Google.
It is. You're right.
And it's right. I'm into the backstory. I'm into the why. You know, it's not just your book, you being an entrepreneur or a coach, but it is your journey. It's your story. How do you vet your guests for your show?
Yeah, I usually, you know, basically see, because my show, I like to hear, like you said, I'm kind of like you. I want to hear that backstory. I want to hear the purpose. You wasn't always this coach. You wasn't always this brilliant speaker, you know, that I'm interviewing. And I dig. And I tell them that because I have an intake that they fill out. So I get their bio and everything. And I read through it. And then I really basically do like not a whole big research, but just reads and what they're doing. Because I'm like, if you're coming on the show and I want them to get to know you, because that's what I'm all about, the visibility, then I need to know you. So, right. You know, I got to make sure that I'm understanding what you do. And I'm not going to bring anybody on just to bring you on to say, okay, I'm on the show.
All right. And that's what I tell people. I said, I'm just not going to bring you on here just because you say you can do this, that, and the other. It's got to be in alignment. And it's got to be in alignment with my values. I had one woman... I was talking to her to be on my show, and she was a witch.
Ooh. You said,
you know what? Because I'm open to the conversation. Maybe she could turn me on to something that I don't know. But as I delved deeper and looked at her website, I mean, she was a straight up antichrist, incantation, sacrifice kind of witch. I had to go on and cancel that. I wasn't cool with that energy. Yeah. I had another guest that believed in unschooling. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I get that. Some people don't traditional, but that don't mean you don't wear no shoes. You don't comb your hair. You can cuss and say whatever you want to say. So as I delved deeper, that wasn't for me.
Wow.
And that is not something that I want to promote. So it has to be in alignment with your values. A lot of times people say, I paid my money, or I did this. All money ain't good money, baby.
Nope.
It ain't worth it. My reputation is not worth it.
Thank you.
Have you ever had to deny someone, an interview or pull back on an interview?
Yes. Two people. One, they found out they were really racist. And they really want to get on the show to prove their point about racism and how they, you know, you should just assert a minority and, you know, everybody else is whatever. I'm like, okay, I'm a black woman. Mm-hmm. I'm just being honest, full control here. Yes, I'm black. And you're going to get on and use my show so you can prove that point that there's no value in it. I believe in that at all. Right. I had to deny that. I found it. I'm glad I found out, because they was almost, they didn't, that's what I'm talking about, the truth. it didn't come out until a little before I was going to have on the show.
See, baby, you better than me because you do a live. I don't do no live. I record you so I can cut you. I can edit you. Okay? I do. But I would have that. Well, and it's different. It just depends on how they come at me. If you're going to come at me disrespectful, no. But if we want to go toe-to-toe with that conversation, because I want to see what's in the mind of that person. Why is it that, you know, you just look at something that I can't control, like the color of my skin, and just find so much disdain?
Oh, yeah. And that would have been a wonderful conversation. But he basically told me, he said, I'm going to go, because I got to show people that your race and everybody else is not about, you know, not right. Mm. I said, oh, no. If we can't have a conversation about, nope, you're not going to do that.
Do you talk politics? That's what I call politics. Politics on your show?
No, I don't.
You don't? Sometimes, not too much. With number 45, girl, I can't even call him by his name. 45, yeah, it was a cold piece right there. It was a cold piece and everything around that. But what it did was it separated the wheat from the straw.
Oh, yes, it did.
Okay. And it really let me know. Right. Because they're quiet now, but they're still brewing.
Yeah.
What do you think that we can do as Black people? Because I'm going to tell you something. Now, Black folks, y'all can get mad if you want to. It is what it is. But we can be some of the most overt racists out there because we have been, you know, objectified and disrespected for so long. We think that we got access to say whatever we want to say, call folks out all the time, and be angry. I'm not going to be an angry Black woman, Barbara. I'm not going to do it. It takes work. I'm going to be a strategic woman.
There you go.
Okay? Mm-hmm. I'm going to use my color, my ingenuity, and my friends for leverage. One of my white girlfriends told me, oh, April, I'm so upset what's going on with, you know, with the Trump era. Whatever I can do, I'll use my white privilege. I told her, baby, this ain't no Visa card. You can't just whip it out and swipe it and everything goes away. You can't do that. I have a problem with that white privilege because, again, like time, I think it's an illusion. Mm. You know, it's only what you allow and you lead credence to. Mm. Woman tried to front me in Target. Okay, so I have my Black Lives Matter shirt on and was rocking my afro. I don't know why anyone feels that they should have preferential treatment and that one race should be superior over the other. Girl, we in Target and it's a long line, it's a pandemic, and you gonna try to call me out? So I said, okay, April, how you gonna show up? Are you gonna be on TikTok and, you know, on Facebook? They got your old camera, you know, your husband worked for the police department, you're gonna be there in the cell, or are you gonna be strategic? So I said, put my things down. I step out of line. I pull out my business card. I said, baby, I don't know what has happened to you in the past. I don't know who's hurt you. I don't know who's disrespected you. You know, I don't know who's fondled you. I don't know what the situation was. I said, but it wasn't me. Mm-hmm. I said, and all lives do matter. I said, but at this particular time, I'm waving this banner. So if you want to have a conversation, here's my card. I'll take you to Starbucks, my treat. Mm-hmm. I said, but what you won't do is disrespect me in Target. That's what you're not gonna do. Mm-hmm. Girl, she went from the 12th floor down to the basement. And when we went out the store, she nodded and bowed her head. It was a teachable moment. And that is what I'm hoping that we can do as a society, not just Black, white, but have a teachable moment. Take time to take a breath. Just chill for a minute and decide, you know, okay, so how am I gonna go with this? You know, think about Muhammad Ali. He was one of my mentors, and I had met him several times. And he used to ask me, he said, baby, do you think I'm pretty? And I was like, I sure do. But I would see him, you know, he would work out at the gym that wasn't too far from my house. And I would see the way that he would bob and move and how he would duck and, you know, how he would protect himself. But he always had a smile on his face.
He did, yeah.
He always had a smile on his face. And I mean, he was oppressed and he went to jail, but he fought for what he believed was right. You know, he didn't walk up and just bitch slap somebody like my boy Will.
I said, oh Lord.
But you know what? I ain't mad at Will, because Will lost it. I've worked, you know, I've built audiences for Will and Jada. And mm-hmm. I've seen, you know, him. And did you read his autobiography?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
There's validation there. And yeah. You know, when well, you the psychology of what was going yeah. on, he'd had enough. And the pressure of, you know, he knew he was going to get the Oscar. He had been denied. Well, not denied. He didn't get it a couple times. And then you got the little Spengali over there looking at you with them green eyes saying, you know, you better handle this. You got to go home with me, you know.
It's just Bengali.
Oh, yeah. Oh, girl, she got him. She got him. I say she got him under her spell. Yes, she do. Yes, she do. And I ain't mad at her. You know? I ain't mad at her.
It, that conversation, I know that could be a whole nother show, but I only say this, like, I'm glad you said that, April, about you never know what, that's why I go back to, you know what the person's dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that going up slapping somebody is the right thing. I don't believe in violence.
No.
I'm not saying that at all. Because some people are like, well, Barbara, I know you like Will Smith. I know, you know, he's like a mentor to you because you like what he did. And he got to this point, he deserved the Oscar, which I say, yeah, I still say that. And I don't sit there and say he should slap Chris. But you got to understand the core, because people are not looking at, okay, let's dig deep here. Everybody, black, white, everybody, he needed that. They didn't take this away. They didn't do this. He should never make a movie in life. Da, da, da. And I'm like, oh my God, is anybody looking at the fact that this man is dealing with some things and he just poof. And it happened going up the Oscar, unfortunately.
It did. And you know what? My husband and my daughter always say, quit poking the bear. Okay, now I'll let you say something. It was funny the first time. I'll let you say something. Just 2-3 things. And then when we offline, I'm going to tell you 4-5 other things. Okay, but there's a history there. And then you're going to front me in front of everybody, always making me the butt of the joke. You know, that's like Mike Tyson. He beat the guy up on the airplane. But y'all already know Mike. Mike eat ears for lunch. You know, you don't mess with him. And so this guy thinks that he's going to have some big payday. Well, you know, watch and see. Yeah. I don't believe in violence, but I do believe in protecting yourself.
Yeah.
I do. And speaking up for yourself and defending yourself. Mm-hmm. All these kids, you see what my mama did? My mama pulled the car over and made me tussle with pebbles.
Pebbles is in my head now. I don't remember pebbles.
Right. But you know what? I saw pebbles, oh, maybe about 5 or 6 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Looking like the cats drug her in.
Ooh, see.
Life ain't been good to her. She's still out there bullying, still trying to, you know, and it will take a toll. It will take a toll on you. Sometimes people don't learn their lessons, you know, and it's tough. It's tough. Yeah. So I want to hear a little bit about your show. Tell me about your show, the premise of the show, really what you're pouring into people.
Well, you know, it was called the Diamond Factor Network. So I have 6 shows per week.
Wow, you do 6 a week?
Yes, not all me. I have a little team. Oh. So I kind of look at it like this, April. I says, like, you have Oprah and you got her own. She has her own and she has all her shows on her own. So I'm doing the same thing. So I have 2 of my own signature shows that I do. And then I have other people that are experts come on and do their show on the network. So the biggest 2 that I love that I'm doing, like I said, for my signature one is Healing Humanity show, which I kind of told you before we started. We started on Thursday evening, where there's a nonprofit organization that I'm really a part of, and I'm so excited I'm becoming one of the board members. It's called Help Heal Humanity. We call it HHH. So I told them, I said, okay, you know, I'm a visibility person. I said, we need people to get to know what you're doing. You know, it's one thing a nonprofit say, okay, you give me some money, thank you for the money, then you don't know where the money went. With this particular nonprofit, what I love about them is that I'm right with the CEO and the founder who's with me on the show, and she's on boots on the ground doing the work, showing the work, showing up, going to Haiti, going all these different places, you know, with the children. And I told her, I said, we need visibility. So I got a show under my network. And then I have the one on Friday in the morning, the Coaches Lounge, what I told you about, where I'm bringing coaches, mentors, and consultants to come and talk about how they coach. What do they coach about? Why do they coach? What made them get to that point? Do you really understand if you're a coach or not? Stuff like you said earlier. So those are the 2 signature ones that I'm really working on.
You have a network. So are you streaming? Are you doing things like, I don't know,
Yeah, I'm streaming. It's a TV streaming, and it's under the E360 streaming. So they stream to like, Roku and seven other streaming channels.
Well, and again, this is just for informational purposes. It's not to, pick apart anybody, but what do you feel about those platforms? They're becoming very popular, but everybody is not going to be as savvy as you. They don't know how to work it. They don't know how to promote it, and they're not consistent. Consistency is key. Once you've built an audience and people are invested in you, their time, their energy, again, if I'm gonna give you 30 minutes, 40 minutes of my time once a week and you six times a week, there's got to be some ROI. What do you think about these platforms? Because a lot of them are popping up.
I know. I mean, I think everybody has a pocket. I think
Well, but
people scam them.
everybody, yeah, everybody's got, it's like a blog. Remember, blogs were real popular and then they just fizzled out. It.
Well, no, what you said though, April, and I'm glad you said that because we're on the same point about consistency. I told myself when I first started 2 years ago, it's been 2 years now since I had the network. When I first started it, I was like, okay, what? Because in my mind, I was like, what else can I do to get the individuals that I, to get more visibility? That was in my head. It wasn't, I know the money has to be there. I mean, I get that. We got to make the ROI the money part. But my thing was, how can I increase this visibility for people and myself to show them that I can bring them on a network so they can do, show what they do? So I started on this platform. And the second thing I said is, I said, okay, now that I did this and I made a decision, I got to be consistent. I have to show up. And I told myself, it's every Monday. At that time, it was Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I only had 3 days. And I said, those 3 days every week, Barbara has to show up for the individuals that are coming. It ain't no, okay, let me do this for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Oh, I'm tired. I can't get up. No, I'm 3 days now. I'm done. It's been 2 years now. And I added 3 days to the week. So I know how important that is, not just
It
for me, but for others.
is. And again, people are entrusting you to tell their story. They're allowing themselves to be vulnerable. You want to be respectful. We have to be
Another
careful
reason.
what we say. We got to be careful how we produce because there's a cancer culture out there. And there are, people are so delicate. You can say anything. Talk about freedom of speech. There's not no freedom of speech now. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be even crazier. I don't even know what Mr. Tesla is going to do with Twitter.
Oh yeah, that's a
Who knows?
whole
That's a
everybody's
whole
like,
nother
what's gonna
thing. But
happen with
I'm
that?
not
Yeah.
mad at him. If you got the money, I have a choice, rather to listen to it, feed into it, or not feed into it. It's just like mainstream media. I've worked behind the camera. And the first thing they tell the audience is, we are here to create an experience, not report the news, not give the facts, but we're here to create an experience. So, in creating that experience, is sensationalism. Because sensationalism is what sells. But what I don't like about mainstream media anymore is all of the snarkiness and the pundits and their nasty little comments. I could name a bunch of them. I don't even watch it anymore. I refuse to watch it because I want to hear the news. I want to hear what's going on in Ukraine. I don't want to hear about, Putin and his mama and all that kind of stuff. I want to know what strategically is going on with people. I want to know if there's any way that I can help. I mean, you think back to the days of the Barbara Walters, and the Walter Cronkites, even Oprah. Oprah, would she was a she is still a very effective listener. She's changed a little bit, as far as her interviews and what they talk about and having an opinion on things. But people need to be able to edit and filter and to make their own decision. And you can't make an informed decision unless you have all the facts. There's some very disgruntled news channels. I watch them because I want to hear what the opposition has to say so that I can set up my strategy. People
All
don't want to
about
hear
you.
that. They want everybody to go along to get along.
Along, and it's not,
And if that's not what it's going to be, allow me some space and some bandwidth to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
We can agree to be to disagree and not be disagreeable.
Yeah. But they say you, they disagree and they're like, okay, I don't like you. I don't want to talk to you. I mean, it's just they get in a whole, like you said.
Because they all up in their feelings. And I work with an ego coach. I had to tell you about that. It's amazing. It is amazing because she's taught me how to nurture it, love it. I can go into a room of 10 people and I can read personalities like that. But I give them what they need. You know, sometimes people want to be at the head of the class. Okay, you can be the head of the class. Some people are very shy and introverted. You want to feed into that. Some people are very aggressive. Some people are just straight up idiots. But you got to give the idiots some space too so that they can learn.
You know,
so that you can understand and see how not to be an idiot.
That's what I'm saying. I said, you remember that commercial talking about you? Everybody learns from a dummy. Remember with that car?
Right.
Everybody's just laughing. Now I'm like, you know what? That's a lot of truth to that.
But do you remember all those books for dummies? How much money they made off trying to educate a dummy? It was.
Well, I had some of them dummy books.
Okay, it was like chicken soup for the soul. I mean, you had a dummy for everything. You know?
I don't see too much anymore. But yeah, you're right. You're right.
So in closing, Barbara, share some wisdom with us. Tell me something that I don't know, that I need to know, that I can hold in my heart. And I can say, Barbara Beckley told me this.
Well, the one thing I tell people, because people always talk about their purpose. And I talk about that a lot, and understanding purpose and what you should be doing in the world. And I want to tell people that, you know, you got your fears. People, you have your fear. Everybody's going to have a fear somewhere in life. If you don't have a fear, then something's not right. If you got your fears, you have your unknowns in your head. You know, you have your basically, I don't know if I should do this, procrastination, whatever it is. Whatever those list of things that might be in your head. But think about your purpose as being the foundation. And then every time you go to do something, in your business, personal relationship, or whatever, and that purpose comes up and ask yourself, is my purpose, what I believe in, going to override the fears and the procrastination and all other things that might crush you? Or is all the procrastination and fears going to crush your purpose? I wake up every day asking myself that question before I move out and say what I'm going to do for the day. Because if it's always the opposite and all that is crushing your purpose, then the question for you is that your true purpose?
Absolutely. And you are living a purpose-driven life. Yes, you are. And thank you so much for loving me and sharing with me and just having an unscripted conversation. Because love that's it. What it's love about. It. Yeah. I don't want to, you know, I don't want that cookie cutter kind of stuff. I want to go deep, you know. I want to talk to the real lion.
Go deep. Life is like that. Thank you, April.
Tell my brains how to get in contact with you, how they can love, like, and share you all over the planet.
Okay, brains. First of all, real quickly, again, April, you are just awesome to me. I'm just doing this interview and off, you've been giving me so many good golden nuggets of the genius that you have. So I have to say that to you. You can contact me at www.barbarabeckley.com, real easy. I'm on all social media under my same name. And I just love being here, love helping people and get that visibility and let people know your purpose.
Well, brains, again, like I tell you all the time, I bring you the best and the brightest all over the planet. And it's so important to get me in the screen because I can't do that too. You know, I can't get the technology. Sometimes it's crazy. Bam, here I am. But I need you to go in. I need you to love, like, and share. I need you to visit On the Edge with April Mahoney to get in-depth information, to have real conversations. I need you to go on and subscribe to Barbara's channel, okay? She got some great stuff. I'll be watching her. I'll be liking, loving, and sharing because that's what sisters do. And I am so glad that you are a sister to me.
Thank you.
All right. Brains, check it out. Find you a sister to love. Have a good day. Can't, now see, can't even turn it off. One thing, the technology. Girl, do you ever have the technology problems? Do you ever have the technology problems? Okay.
It's called bloopers.
I love you. Talk to you soon.